Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. Write your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in life. Many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. Something you need to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The Basic Gospel is simply this: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul makes that statement and really defines what the gospel is. And it's that gospel on which we take our stand. That's where we find solid footing in this broken world that we live in. But that gospel message, once we take our stand there, we find that it's being lived out in relationships. It should be impacting the way we treat one another. If it's not, then maybe we need to go back and check our understanding of the gospel. John talks about that in his first letter. You know, it's not that we love God, but the fact that he loved us. And as we start responding to that love, we are born again. We start to know God. We start to grow in our relationship with God. And one of the marks of that reality is the fact that we are learning to love others. And we should be seeing that. We've been talking about relationship builders, relationship destroyers. Today, we want to introduce you to one of those key relationship destroyers, and it's Mr. Record Keeper.
Yeah.
But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love keeps no records of wrong. That's just truth. That's what love does. Well, we're not so keen on doing that. We like to keep records. We like to mark down every wrong that ever happens to us. We even like to mark down all the wrongs that we do toward others, just so that we can keep score. And here's what happens when we keep records. You know, if Richard does something wrong toward me, this is just merely hypothetical, because yeah. That would never
happen. I was going to say, shame on you, Richard.
I know, but he did it first.
Yeah. So I would mark that down. You know, I'd make a mental note of it. I might even write it down. Sometimes we go that far. Now, here's what happens when I start to write that record down. My mind starts to think evil. And that's one of the translations that we see in one of the versions. Instead of love keeps no records of wrong, it says love thinks no evil. Well, so based on that record, based on that wrong that's been done to me, I start responding to that with evil thinking. I hatch a plan. How am I going to get even with Richard? But it's really not enough, as far as my flesh is concerned, to just get even. I want to get ahead of Richard. I want to be I want him to be, you know, subject to me. I want him to be in my debt. And so I think of something that's not only going to get me back to even, but is going to push me ahead. And we start to hatch that plot and that scheme, and we pick a time. And then when all of the stars are aligned, so to speak, we act upon that plan and we move ahead. Our record books are now in our favor. They were once not so much in our favor, but now that we've exacted some revenge, all things are good. Well, that destroys relationships. There's nothing positive and healthy and beneficial and good that can come from that. Well, how do we learn not to be record keepers? Well, I think we have to look at God. God is the ultimate non-record keeper. He keeps no records of our wrongs. He did. He judged them all as sin. He sent Jesus to die in our place. And as a result, there's now, therefore, no condemnation for us who are in Christ. I think one of the great passages in the Bible is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. talks about becoming a new creature in Christ, and then it talks about this ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So he's not a record keeper. That's not part of the equation as far as God is concerned. And then, of course, the wonderful promise in the new covenant, the fourth of four major promises that we see in the new covenant, it's this, that God chooses to remember our sins no more. When we establish ourselves on that firm foundation of God's love for us, as we take our stand in the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will see that love flowing out of us, and it will not keep records of wrongs. We'll just leave that stuff in the past and move forward in light of God's love and grace for us.
Yes, indeed.
That's the good news of the gospel. That's how this message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection intersects with us in day-to-day living.
Every day. That's exactly right, Bob. And thank you for that. We welcome you, everybody, to the broadcast. This, of course, Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to dial if you would like to join the conversation. If you have some specific Bible question or if you have some issue in life that you would like to have spiritual guidance on, why, a good opportunity. The lines are wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377. As I've said in the past, it's why we're here live every day, so that you can be a part of the broadcast and get your question answered or get some guidance into those issues of everyday life. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Maria that I've been trying to get to for several days, but I think this is a very good question that we can begin the broadcast on as we await calls from our listeners across the country. Maria writes, I have learned all my life as a Christian that God does not that God does care and provides all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and that by his stripes we were healed, and so many other verses that talk about those specific subjects. But I've heard on your program that all that is junk, and that it is not a promise that we will receive those things from God. And listening to your program, I've learned that the things of the Spirit are what is promised to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that we should be focusing on the spiritual things, not on the things of the flesh. She goes on to say, I kind of get it, but I'm still a little shocked. I have talked to my friends, and they do not agree with what you are saying. On the other hand, I've been listening to your program for about 3 years now, and my way of thinking has changed so much in regard to what I've learned from this program. The prosperity and healing subject is a very delicate subject in the Christian community, and that's where their focus is most of the time, even though they love Jesus Christ. Please let me know of some resources that can help me explain to my friends without offending them about this, as you call it, the American dream, that Christians claim it and get it by believing.
Well, that's a big doctrine that's out there. It's under the umbrella of prosperity teaching. You know, Paul addresses that in several different places. I think the most famous is in his letter to Timothy. He talks about those who come in and teach that that godliness is a means of financial gain. And he says those who teach that really have lost touch with the head, and their thinking has become perverse. They are twisting the truth of the gospel. And if you're looking to God for financial blessing, you've just set yourself up for disappointment.
Absolutely.
A lot of times that's not going to happen. Sometimes prosperity is going to come your way, but prosperity can come to a lost person as well. There are many people out there who have no belief in God whatsoever. They're either agnostic or atheist, and yet they're very prosperous. They're financially wealthy. And that doesn't mean that they have found favor in God's sight. That doesn't mean they are being blessed by God. It just simply means that they've come up with something that the world needs, and they're making a lot of money out of it.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that. So the prosperity gospel is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul, if you look at his life, you would think, you know, that guy should have been the most prosperous guy in the world. All that he went through, and the fact that he delivered the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. It was, you know, his ministry, basically, that turned the world upside down back in those early days of the formation of the church. And yet, man, he He struggled. He lived in poverty. At the end of his life, he asked somebody to go and get his coat because he was cold. That was the life that he lived. But he was still content. Why? Because he knew Jesus Christ. Now, that needs to be balanced with the fact that God is going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So we can count on God meeting every single need. Sometimes we get frustrated with that because we think, God, you're not meeting our needs. But then when we really look at it, it's not a need that we're concerned about. It's a want. It's like,
a need, Bob.
Yeah, God, I don't know why you haven't delivered that Mercedes to my driveway. I don't know why you haven't delivered this. Those are all wants, and those are all, can be fleshly desires. That's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about needs. God is faithful to meet every single one of our needs, both spiritual and physical. We can count on that.
Absolutely. Marie, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you and to those friends that you're trying to communicate this truth to. And friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, you can drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Right now, plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377.
I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes and talk about our upcoming conference. We basically have 3 weeks before Stand 2014 takes place, June 19th through the 21st. Folks are registering, but now is the time to sign up. If you want to come join us, Andrew Farley, John Lynch, our good friend Frank Reed will all be speaking. It's going to be a wonderful time, and it's going to help you find solid footing in the love of God, in the grace of God, in the truth of God, in the promises of God, in the life of God, and in the power of God. If you can find solid footing in those six areas of the gospel message, you're going to be pretty secure in this world. So we want you to come be a part of this. Learn how to take your stand on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. I guarantee you it'll be life-changing. It'll put you on solid ground like you've never known before. All the information is available at stand2014.com. Come and join us.
I was really impressed that you remembered all six without having to look.
I did that. I can't believe it either.
Okay, friends, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, open lines. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go down to Corpus Christi and talk with George, who's listening to us on KCTA. Hi, George.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask a question. With baptism, I was baptized when I was less than a year old, fully submerged and all that. But yet, through Bible studies and fellowship with other Christians, some of these guys were saying that I need to do this again in my age of awareness. I may not have been aware of it when I was less than a year old. But what is your take on that?
Well, George, I was in exactly the same position that you are. I was baptized as an infant. I remember it well. Actually don't remember anything about it. The pastor gave my mom and dad a letter, and at the age of 12, I got to open that letter and read it. And it had some things about what baptism meant. Well, then I went through college and had a pretty rough time in college. I wanted to be God's guy, and things just didn't work out the way I wanted them to work out. And finally just fell flat on my face and said, Lord, I don't know how to live this Christian life. I don't know what to do. And about that time, George, I started going to a Bible study, and I started learning about the grace of God. I started learning that the gospel message is all about life, that though I was dead in sin, God made me alive together with Christ. He forgave all my sins. And that was news that just made my heart happy and made it just leap for joy. And I started to think, well, I wonder if I should reconfirm that by doing baptism, by being baptized. And I decided to go ahead and be baptized. And it's just a public testimony of my salvation in Christ Jesus. It was a meaningful experience to me. It wasn't one of those experiences like I thought it would. You know, I had lots of expectations tied to that baptism, but it just didn't, you know, do what I expected it to do. So I just look back at it and say, hey, that was a public testimony of my new life in Christ. So, George, if that's something that you would like to do, to make a public testimony, to celebrate what Christ Jesus has done in your life, I encourage you by all means to go and be baptized again. If it's not something that you, if you're only entertaining it because somebody else is saying you ought to, then, you know, I think I would proceed with a little caution there.
Well, the reason why they kind of pressured me, because they wanted to sound like you're not going to be saved if you don't do that, or, you know, you're not a true born-again Christian unless you do an adult, fully submersible, you know, baptism.
Well, George, that's just not true. Baptism is not a part of the gospel message. It's not in the equation. That's something that we do after we're saved to celebrate the fact that we have been saved. So here's what Paul had to say. I'll point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that they were baptized into my name." So Paul was out proclaiming the gospel. If baptism had been a part of that gospel, he would have been baptizing everybody that he encountered, that he had involvement with as far as proclaiming Christ. But he said, that's not the case. He said, "I baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." So baptism isn't a part of the gospel. It's not necessary for salvation. Does that make sense to you, George?
Oh, yeah. Every time I speak with you guys, you just lift, you know, a heavy weight off of me, and it's like liberating. It's great. Yeah. Thanks again. Appreciate it. God bless you all.
Well, you're welcome, George. You hang on, okay? Well, let's go to John in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I got to tell you, guys are doing a great job up there.
Well, thank you. We sure
now we need you to come down here.
Well, John, we're actually working on that, and hopefully we'll have some details for you soon about an upcoming event we're planning in New York City.
It's going to be fantastic, because I know there's a lot of brothers and sisters that want to see you guys, you know, and just listen to your teaching about the gospel, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And I loved yesterday, you had that young man on yesterday, I forgot his name.
John Lynch.
He's talking about the love of Christ. It's really phenomenal. And today about the love of Christ. I mean, it's so beautiful. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I mean, you know, if we could just gaze upon that for a second, we can't even grasp it. You know what I'm trying to say? It's beyond our mind, and it's just loving and so good and so deep and so wide. In Ephesians, it says that, the love of God, right?
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, he says there, John, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, starting in verse 16, that it takes the power of God in us, the power of God's Spirit, to help us understand the love of God. I mean, it's so far above us. That we couldn't grasp it just on our own. It takes the Spirit of God to bring the meaning of God's love to our hearts. And that's what he does. And he just keeps pouring it into our hearts and souls. And as he does, it changes us. It transforms us. It's just simply amazing.
It's beautiful just to stay in his presence and to think about his love and to think about how much he loved us so much. He loved us so much, he gave his son to us. Like he said to Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter goes, "Yeah," three times. He goes, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep with my love through you." And I tell you, that's the best and only thing that's going to pull us through every situation is the love of God.
That's exactly right,
that's
John.
True.
That's exactly
that's
right.
True. I mean, just to sit in his presence, there's nothing like it. He called us by name. He knew us before the foundation of the world. And I tell you, I can go on and on, but I know you got people on the phone over there. I just want to say thanks a lot, guys. You know, you guys are doing a great job out there.
Well, thanks, John. And hopefully you're on our mailing list so you can be informed of this upcoming event in New York City. If not, I'd love to put you on hold, and we'll get all of your information so you can be one of the first
Great.
To know.
Great. Thanks a lot. God bless you. Keep up the fantastic work.
Okay. Thanks John. You hang on.
Yeah, a little time remaining on the clock. Want to hear from you as well at 1-800-677-9377. Had a call from Doris in New York, Bob and Richard. Had a question about losing salvation. Can that happen?
Boy, that's a question we get a lot. And Richard, can we lose salvation? There's certainly, a bunch of the Christian world that thinks we can. But
yes.
What does the Bible have to say about that?
The Bible says, no, you won't. Our salvation, let's personalize it, my salvation is 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. If there was any part of me in my behavior or my understanding or anything else that was required for salvation, then I would never get it in the first place. But Jesus lived and died and was resurrected and went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit at the proper time so that each of us can accept him and be saved completely, utterly, totally safe, never can be taken out of his hands. It is an absolute guarantee.
That's exactly right. And the aspect of salvation that we missed is the fact of life.
Yes.
That it's a crossover. We go from death to life, and Jesus comes to live inside of us. That's what salvation
yes.
is. So a lot of times we just picture it as receiving kind of this golden ticket mm-hmm. that's going to grant us entry into heaven when we die. And it's outside of us. But that's not salvation. Salvation is something that happens inside of us. God works from the inside out. He changes us. We're first and foremost born again of the Spirit. So the Spirit that was dead is now alive. And God comes to inhabit that Spirit through his Holy Spirit. So there's a union that takes place. And we become new creatures in Christ. And God has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that promise is guaranteed by what Jesus did for us at the cross. He took away all sin. Sin was the cause of death. And so when Jesus took away all sin, he removed the cause of death. And he did that so that when he gave us new life, it could be eternal life. If he hadn't taken away the sins of the world, the next time we sinned, we would have to forfeit that life. And that wouldn't make it eternal, would it?
That's exactly right.
Well, that is the good news. If there are people out there struggling with that, we certainly have information and would love to send that to you. Bob, take it away.
Yeah, we're closing in on the final days of May, friends, and we still have a significant financial issue. As you know, Basic Gospel is here every day to meet the needs of our listeners. And if you have a question or a need, that, of course, includes you. The reality is, however, that we can't do it unless you join with us in supporting this message of love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ. We must have your support, friends, to remain on the air. Please join us today with your most generous gift. If you'll do that, then we can keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel. It's your chance to make a difference in someone else's life. All you need to do is go online or make a quick phone call, and there's a prominent link at basicgospel.net, a prominent support link, or you can make a gift by phone. 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. As our way of saying thanks for joining with us, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. That's for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Click the link at basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is. June 19th through the 21st are the dates for our Bible conference, Stand 2014, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. We hope that many of you folks outside the Dallas area, across the country, and across the waters, if you can make it, will make your plans now to come and join with us. We're under a month away now, and still plenty of time to make those arrangements, and I know that you're going to be glad when you do. Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. For information and registration, visit the website, stand2014.com. And if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.